Once again, we're going to begin in John's Gospel, the fourth chapter. And I'm actually going to read this to you out of the Amplified. We'll start in the Amplified. You know, in verse 19, after the Lord Jesus had ministered to her through the word of knowledge and word of wisdom, she said, "I perceive you are a prophet." Amen. Well, she perceived. Thank God, you know, this woman, you know, she's messed her life up a lot, but, you know, she still had a spiritual perception. Amen. You know, there are times in our life that things can be going wrong. We've made all kinds of bad decisions. But if you listen down on the inside of you, your heart will tell you to look to the Lord. Amen. God has given us an ability to perceive. That's why a lot of times, you know, you think back. You came to church and you're sitting there and you weren't saved and you started hearing the gospel, and about halfway through that message, man, you know, your heart's bothering you, you know, your head's bothering you, your flesh is bothering you, your mind's bothering you, and you think, what is wrong with me? Well, I got to get out of here. No, what you need to do is surrender and perceive that the Lord Jesus is who you need in your life. Amen? That's your heart responding to the heart of God. And so God gives us a perception. Thank God he does. Amen? But here, let's read on, and she begins to present to the Lord some things, and she says, "Our forefathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where it is necessary and proper to worship. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither merely in this mountain nor merely in Jerusalem.'" Notice the Lord says, you know, here's the thing. You've been relegating your worship to a place and a time. See, a lot of Christians do that. Well, some may hear just a little bit. It'll help you to get caught back up, praise God. But a lot of Christians, what they do is this. They keep their worship on Sunday morning in the sanctuary. And that's what they were really doing. That's what she's talking about. She says, well, should we be worshiping here on this mountain, or should we be worshiping up in Jerusalem, which is the proper place and proper time? And the Lord says, listen, there's coming a time when the place isn't going to be the main point. Amen? See, you know, I don't know about you, but religion will cause you to think you can't even get a prayer answered unless you're in a church on a Sunday morning. Amen. You ever been there? You mess up and you had to wait till Sunday whenever they was giving the preaching to, so you go up and repent and quit being backslid. Amen. And you know, and that's one of the reasons that preachers would preach every Sunday on the new birth and being rededicated. I don't know about you, but before I learned better, I think I broke my rededicator two or three times, just wore it out. Hallelujah. I'd get it fixed. Amen. Found out I didn't have to wait till Sunday morning, because God wasn't just, you know, relegated to one spot and one time. He's everywhere all the time. Amen. That's right. And so the Lord Jesus is going to teach us this. And he says, "You Samaritans do not know what you're worshiping. You worship what you are not, what you do not comprehend." See, and he's describing a lot of people, even in the church today. He says, you know, you don't even know what you're worshiping. See, a lot of times we think that the 15 or 20 minutes of singing three or four songs is to give the lay people time to get to church. But that's not what it's all about. Amen. You know? And then we come in and we sing some songs, and you know, and this is the thing. If we like the style of the song, we just sing and all happy about it. But if we don't like the style of the song, we sit there and think, I don't know why they have to sing that stuff. And so it really becomes either enjoying the song service or not enjoying the song service, but it's not really become worship. Amen? Why? Because we don't really know what we're supposed to be doing. We don't know even who we're worshiping or what worship is all about. See, worship is bringing reverence and adoration to Almighty God. That's what worship really is. It's you adoring him and you know, bringing a place of reverence and respect and worship and adoration unto him, praise God. And so he says this. She goes on, he says, "You don't know what you're worshiping. You worship what you do not comprehend." We do know what we are worshiping. We worship what we have knowledge of and understand. Notice that. You're not ever going to be a true worshiper until you have knowledge of God and understand your relationship with him. Amen? He says, for after all, salvation comes from among the Jews. In other words, he says, we understand why we're worshiping God is because we understand that the covenant that we have with God, salvation, deliverance, healing, every blessing you get comes from God. And therefore, we worship God with an understanding that He is the source of all good things. So in doing so, what we're doing is we're giving reverence to Him, and we're bringing adoration to Him, and we're just coming before Him and worshiping and showing His worship in our life for the salvation that He's brought to us. Then he says this, a time will come, however, indeed it is already here. See, the Lord Jesus, when He came to this earth, the reason He came was to bring the kingdom of heaven back to the earth. Amen? He's the king. You can't have a kingdom without a king. Amen? The original king that was given authority and dominion over the earth sold out to Satan, lost it. Adam was the first man created and was given authority. But he lost it. Amen? Satan became the god of this world. And the kingdom of heaven couldn't function on the earth, so God had to give man laws and rituals and rules just to help him to understand what holiness is, but he could never live up to it. But thank God when Jesus came, he said the first thing he did was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand now. Hallelujah. In other words, change your life, change your mind, change your thinking, change the way you live, change your approach to life, because there's a new kingdom coming, because I'm the king. Hallelujah. And so the Lord Jesus brought the kingdom of heaven back to the earth so we could operate in God's kingdom now. Amen? So he says this, a time will come, however, indeed it is already here. So it's here now, when the true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that word truth, there's reality. The Amplified brings that out. Notice he says, for the Father is seeking just such people as these as His worshipers. Hallelujah. God is a spirit, a spiritual being, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, or in reality. Now, notice here that he said there's a time coming where the true worshipers are going to worship the Father in spirit and in the reality of Him being in their life. Now, in verse 23, he says here, a time will come, however, instead of indeed is already here, when the true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, here's the thing. Then he goes on and says, the Father is seeking such type of people to be His true worshipers. You are never going to be a true worshiper until God becomes your Father. We don't worship God. We worship our Heavenly Father. Are you listening to me? Because worship is an intimacy between you and your Heavenly Father. It is an intimacy between the Father and His children, praise God. And for you to become a true worshiper, God Almighty has become your Heavenly Father in reality, hallelujah. Not just on Sunday morning. Not just in a religious service, not just when somebody's watching, but God Almighty becomes your Heavenly Father, just like He was the Lord Jesus' Heavenly Father when He was here on this earth. And now you are walking in an intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father, and you're worshiping Him out of a reality that He is your Heavenly Father. Come on, He is your Father. And so true worship doesn't begin until God becomes, in reality, your Father. And you see yourself as a child of God, not just a churchgoer, not just somebody that got saved, not just somebody that's, trying to do good, but someone who has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who has been made a child of the Almighty God. Amen? Amen. And notice he says you have to worship the Father in spirit, or with the Spirit, or with the aid of the Holy Spirit, up out of your spirit, in the reality that He is your Father and you are His child. Now that's when it becomes worship, praise God. That's whenever you really begin to show reverence to and adoration to Almighty God, because He's more than God in heaven. He is now your personal Heavenly Father. Amen? Now, to get that done, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. Look in Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. The apostle over here says, Paul says in verses 15 and 16, he says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Notice that if you're going to worship the Father, you need the aid and the help of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that brings you into that intimate relationship with the Father where you cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is a Greek word. You know why they didn't translate it? It's because it's translated daddy, and they didn't have the courage to put that in there. Come on. They just could not, the people that were translating the scriptures, just could not force themselves to be able to see our God as a daddy. So they just left the word Abba. But the Bible really reads here that the Holy Spirit has come not to bring you into fear and not to bring you into bondage so that you serve God out of fear, so that you serve God out of bondage to His Word, afraid to mess up lest you be cast into hell. But the Holy Spirit has come to bring you in and adopt you and put you into Christ and bring you to God and give you the spirit of adoption, where now up out of your spirit you cry out, Daddy, Father. Hallelujah. And here's the thing, and the Holy Spirit Himself bears witness with your spirit that you are that child that can say, Daddy, Father. And if you want your worship to really go to the level God wants it to go to, you have to come to a place where you see God Almighty as your daddy, as your heavenly Father. And you begin to see Him in that intimacy, praise God. And you begin to go like that. And you know, a lot of us, we've had maybe some bad experiences. You know, my biological dad was a reprobate. He left us whenever I was about 2.5 years old. I never knew him. I talked to him. I saw him twice in my life and talked to him once on the phone when I was 11 years old. And he died a sinner, and he died and didn't tell anybody. They just came and got his body, cremated him. He was gone. Didn't want to have anything to do with God. Didn't want to have anything to do with people. Didn't have anything to do with anybody. And he was a liar and a thief and a cheat and everything else all of his life. That's all I know about him. Okay? And I can remember one time I was driving. I'd just been new in the ministry and was going along. I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, and thank God, God had given me a good stepfather, so I knew a little bit about adoption. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I'm driving along one day, and I heard this voice come up to me. I'm driving along, and you know, you ever had any of those days when the enemy tries to bring self-doubts to you? Huh? And you wonder if you're going to be able to stay true and do whatever and stay with it. And I can remember hearing just this voice come up and said, you know, like father, like son, you're going to mess up. And it was from out here. It wasn't God. It was another voice. Spoke that right into me. And immediately I got to thinking about it. And about that time, I heard a more authoritative voice. And I heard this voice say real loudly, very firmly, shut that thinking up right now. I'm driving my car. I almost swerved. And then I heard that voice say, it's true. Like father, like son. But now I'm your father, and you're my son, and you'll be like me. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, church. Come on, church. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that no matter what your background is, your heavenly Father is a good, good Father. Hallelujah. And He has sent the Holy Spirit to bring you into that intimate relationship that you know. Listen, what did the Lord Jesus teach us? He said, if you earthly fathers, being natural, normal, you know, filled with all kinds of problems, want to do good things for your kids, how much more will your who? Heavenly Father do good things for His children. Amen? Notice that Jesus was letting us know that God wants to be your good, good Heavenly Father. And you and I have to get that revelation, because the Father is seeking such who will worship Him out of the reality that we can call Him Daddy Father. First time I ever heard anybody say that kind of made me mad, because I was religious. Amen. I was with a friend of mine. We were going to Bible school, and he'd been, you know, I just got filled with the Holy Ghost in June of 77. And then, went straight out to Rhema and was there in August and September. And I'd only been filled with the Holy Ghost. I got around people, and they were all singing and speaking in tongues and worshiping God. I've told the story, Bonnie and I went to the first day of orientation, and they were having a praise service, and everybody was singing in the Spirit, and they were shouting and jumping. I mean, you don't do that in the church when you got a piano on that side and an organ on this one. And so, they were singing and doing all this stuff. And I told the story, but it bears, I can remember, I felt like my hand was going numb. I thought, what is wrong with my arm? And I looked over, and Bonnie had a death grip on my arm. And she's got her eyes looking at me like this. She's holding on to my arm. I pried her fingers loose, and I said, what is wrong with you? She goes, where did you bring me? I said, what? She goes, what are they doing? I said, I don't know. Just do whatever they do, and they won't know. We don't know. Hallelujah. Amen. But, I was around some guys who had been around the Charismatic Renewal. We hadn't been around it. But I remember we were praying one day, some of us, and I heard him say, now, Daddy, we're just praying and believing you that you're going to take care of us. And I thought, who in the world does he think he is calling God Daddy? The audacity of that guy. But I found out he was right. I found out that he had a better revelation and reality of God in his life than I did in mine. Come on. So you see where the Father's wanting to bring us? He's wanting to bring us from conversion to the point where we realize we're not a sinner anymore, to the revelation that now we have been adopted in His family, and the Holy Spirit has brought us into an intimate relationship where He is no longer just God to us, but He is Father. But He's just not Father to us, but He's Abba Father. He's Daddy Father to us. Amen? And we worship Him in a revelation and a reality of Him being Abba Father in our life. Amen. Now, let's look over here in Isaiah 61. You need the help of the Holy Spirit in your life. Look what he says, and we'll read this also out of the Amplified. In Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 3, you can read all these verses down through there, all good, but I just want to touch on verse 1 and 3. In verse 1, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed and qualified me. Notice the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Everything starts with the Spirit of the Lord coming upon you. Amen? And the anointing of God comes by the Spirit of the Lord being upon you. And being qualified to do the things of God comes by the anointing of the Holy Spirit being upon you. Notice in Romans 8, the Spirit bears witness inside you. But here Isaiah says the Spirit of God also comes on you and anoints you and qualifies you. Amen? Notice what the Bible says. He has anointed me and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison of the eyes of those who are bound. That's pretty good, isn't it? Amen? Well, guess what, folks? That wasn't just for the Lord Jesus. That's for all of us. Hallelujah. Because God wants the Spirit of the Lord upon all of us. Amen? He wants to anoint all of us and qualify all of us. But now look what the Spirit of the Lord also does in verse 3. To grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion. Zion represents the church. You know what he's saying? The Spirit of the Lord comes on you to take away from you a mourning, defeated spirit and give you a spiritual joy that helps you to walk in the strength of the Lord. Amen? To give them an ornament or a garland or a diadem of beauty instead of ashes. You know what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do? The Holy Ghost wants to come on you and take the ashes of all those mistakes that you have had in your life that have been piled up, sitting there telling you all your mistakes and all your failures, and begin to pour an anointing upon you, hallelujah, and bring you into a place where, glory to God, you have joy, hallelujah, and you have beauty. In other words, God's anointing comes on us to take our mistakes and turn them into a great testimony of God's glory and victory in our lives. Aren't you glad God can take your mess and turn it into something beautiful? Amen. But how's he going to do that? By the Spirit of the Lord coming upon us. Now let's read on. He says the Spirit of the Lord comes on us to give us this, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and then the garment of expressive praise. Ooh, I like that. See, a lot of people say, I've got praise in my heart. No, you don't. Don't you try to con me with that old religious saying, because the Bible says, Matthew 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's not praise until it's expressed. And you aren't going to express it without the help of the Holy Ghost. How many of you know your flesh will win out without the help of the Holy Spirit? Amen? But notice here, the Holy Spirit anoints us and qualifies us to have a garment of expressive praise instead of a heavy burden and failing spirit. I don't know about you, but I'll trade a heavy burden and failing spirit for a spirit filled with the anointing of God with expressive praise coming out of it. Amen. Any day of the week. Hallelujah. And if you'll read on down through here, the Holy Spirit brings you on you and makes you a tree of righteousness. He helps you to rebuild the old waste places and do all the works of Jesus and glorify the Lord in your life. And then He brings you to a place where He brings you double for what you've lost. Hallelujah. And you know how that works? That works by you and I receiving the Holy Spirit coming upon us and yielding to the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit reveal to us who we are in Christ and receive the spirit of adoption in our hearts and begin to cry out, Abba, Father. And if you can't get past religion and say Daddy, at least say Abba. Hallelujah. And worship God with expressive praise. How many of you know that expressive means an expression? Come on, I've watched some people, and if you looked at their face, you would understand that their expression is not expressive praise. Amen. That means it's hard to praise the Lord with a sad, defeated, failing, mourning expression upon you. Am I telling the truth? I watch people say, praise the Lord. No. You know what you need? You need some anointing on you. Hallelujah. You need to let the Holy Ghost get on you, because the Holy Spirit is the one who anoints you and qualifies you and gives you the ability to be able to express that praise unto God. Amen? And worship the Lord right in the midst of a mess. And you see, folks, the reason we need the help of the Holy Spirit is because sometimes you have to offer up the sacrifice of praise to God, because your problem is still standing right there looking at you, and the pain is still right there in your body, and the enemy's right there lying to your head, and you have to stand right up there in the midst of that and put a smile on your face and say, God, this isn't hypocrisy. This is adoration. This is revelation. This is reality, that greater is He that's in me than he that's against me. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm anointed by the Spirit of God, and right in the midst of my mess, I'm going to express my praise unto God, and God is going to take my ashes of my mistakes and failures and turn it into something beautiful in my life, and God's going to turn what the devil meant for my bad to my good, because I'm going to praise Him, and His anointing is going to get me through this. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. Sometimes you just have to express your praise right in the midst of your mess. Amen? And to do that, you need the Holy Spirit helping you, coming upon you, anointing you, empowering you to get it done. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is an important scripture here also. You need to see this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible tells us in verse 31, He says, but earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and the graces and the higher gifts and the choicest graces. That's the Amplified Bible. Notice here that we're to zealously cultivate a spiritual atmosphere for God to manifest Himself. Let's read it again. But earnestly desire, in other words, I'm sincerely desiring, and I'm not just going to stop at desire, I'm going to zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. In other words, I'm going to do what it takes to put myself in position for God to manifest Himself in my life. Notice you can't just desire it, you have to zealously cultivate it. Amen? I looked up the word cultivate in the dictionary. It means to prepare land for growing crops. To prepare land for growing crops. When He says to zealously cultivate, you know what He's saying? He's saying prepare yourself for God to grow something in you. Amen? To cultivate something means to put some energy in. You have to take care of it. You have to do something about it. Amen? It also called, the word cultivate also means to loosen the soil and kill weeds around the plants. You know what it means? Don't let your heart get hardened because of the struggle and the problem you're in, and don't let the devil come in and kill the seed of God's victory that He's planted in your life. I have to cultivate my heart. I have to keep it tender to God. I have to practice the things of God. I have to continually keep cultivating, preparing, killing the weeds, keeping the thoughts out, keeping the defeat out, keeping the sadness out, keeping the lies out. I've got to cultivate this thing. I've got to do what I got to do to keep the devil from having any place in stopping my harvest from coming forth. Amen? I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, and I'm going to work at this, praise the Lord. The word cultivate also means to seek to become familiar with. I like that one too. To seek to become familiar with. You know what he's saying? He's saying zealously seek to become familiar with the gifts of God and the graces of God and the anointings of God and the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, he's saying what? He's saying you need to cultivate your life. You need to put in the effort. If I'm going to cultivate an area for a garden, guess what I've got to do? I got to get out there and work that, don't I? I got to go out there. I got to clean the junk out. I got to get the weeds out. I got to get the rocks out. I got to get some fertilizer on that thing. I got to get my place where I'm going to put my plants. And I got to get the ground prepared so that it can grow. But then guess what? Once I've planted the seed, I've got to continue to cultivate the land because you know what? I've got to keep the weeds out so that my plants will grow. Bonnie and I, we were in between college at East Tennessee State and Bible school at Rhema. We moved back down to Virginia, and you know, they had a little 300 some acres back then, but you know, big dairy farm. They had cattle and stuff on it, but it had worked out different ways. But we were staying at the house, and there was a little plot of ground, and so we thought, you know what, we're going to be here all summer. We went after spring, you know, graduation was in May, so we left and we went back, and we were going to be there, you know, till August, and so let's plant a crop, let's do a garden. So we went out and planted some tomatoes. Made of plants, and we planted a few other little things. And you know what? After a while, I was working a job. I was praying where I was going to go, and I just didn't really care to keep the weeds out of my garden. And I remember one of Bonnie's daddy got tragedy. He was killed in a car accident when she was younger, and about 10 years old. But one of his friends, he kind of helped with the family and stuff. And so he came by one day, and he drove his pickup truck over, and we was out standing around. And he looked over to his, he said, "My God, man, what is that over there?" I said, "Well." A garden? He goes, "That is the sorriest looking garden I ever saw in my life. There's more weeds in there than there is anything." He said, and he walked over and says, "Oh my God, you got some things growing here, son." I said, "Well, yeah." He says, "Come on." And he grabs a hoe and some other stuff. And the next thing you know, 3 hours later, we got all the weeds out of that place. I mean, he made me clean that thing up. And he drove by every other day to make sure. But you know what? We found out that just planting a garden didn't mean just go out and then clean it up and then plant your stuff and then leave it alone. Because you see, the enemy tries to come back in with those weeds and choke out the good stuff so you can't get a harvest. But you know what he did? This true farmer came along and showed me, you have to go out there every so often and get that junk out of there and keep the ground clean so that your plants can grow. Because if you want to eat a tomato off that plant, you got to give it the soil, not the weeds around it. Amen? But you know what? We got a harvest out of that little garden, praise God, because we worked it. And folks, I want to tell you something. We don't earn the anointing of God. We don't earn the blessings of God. But there is a work that's on our part. There's a part of action that we have to take to cooperate with God and cultivate ourselves and do the things that we need to do so that we can walk in the power and the anointing, the manifestation of God. Amen? And I'm going to tell you what we need to do that. It's found over here in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. I want you to show you something, how you cultivate your soul of your heart. You cultivate your life so that you can move over into the reality that God is no longer just God, but He is Heavenly Father. He's Abba. He's Daddy. And He's a good, good Father. Amen? Ephesians 5:18. Let's read it in the Amplified and let's go down with it. He says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery." Isn't it amazing? You know, this is a letter from the Apostle Paul written to the church of Ephesus. And Paul's writing to the church telling them, don't get drunk. I guess Christians back then had some problems with their flesh just like Christians do today, huh? Same devil, same problems. Amen?
Well, we have so much trouble. There are so many temptations.
I don't want to hear that. Same devil, same problem, same temptation, same test. It drops, just the difference is you got more social media so you can see it quicker. Come on. Are you listening to me? Go back and watch some of these shows, you know, where they'll do the decade. I went back and I was watching the decade of the 60s. And I thought, Lord have mercy, they think it's bad now. I forgot about that stuff. It was a mess. Crazy. Drugs. And out of what saved us out of that was a Jesus movement. Hallelujah. And you know what? It's just packaged different today, but it's the same stuff. Amen? And so you know what he says? He's telling him, he says, don't get drunk with wine. Don't let the devil come in and fill you up with the things of the world, but be ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Somebody says, well, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't just stop with be filled with the Spirit. He said, be filled and stimulated. Are you stimulated? Are you stirred? One translation says, be stirred to action. And that word, be ever filled, is real close to the original Greek. You know the original Greek there? He's not talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's talking about being full of and staying full of the Spirit. Staying filled up. Actually, the Greek scholars tell us that this, the play on the words here was this, but be being filled with the Spirit. In other words, constantly drinking into the Spirit, constantly staying filled up with the Spirit, constantly walking with God, constantly drawing from God. You see, folks, you're not going to win next week's battles with today's anointing. Are you listening to me? Just like you are not going to overcome Friday's, you know, hunger pains with Wednesday's breakfast. You have to feed your spirit every day. You have to be filled up and renewed in the Spirit every day. Now, how am I going to cultivate a spiritual atmosphere in my life where the gifts and the graces of God and the anointing of God and the power of God and the blessings of God begin to flow? Well, he goes on and tells you, he says, be filled and stimulated. In other words, express a praise. I have to express something. I have to be stirred to action. I have to do something about this. Well, what am I going to do, Pastor? Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with your heart to the Lord at all times. At all times. Everybody say at all times. That means that's all times. Hallelujah. In everything. That means every situation. Do what? Give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. No, you're not thanking Him for the problem, but in the problem you're thanking Him, He's going to get you through that problem. Amen? You're keeping a praise attitude. And you're expressing praise to God. And you know what you're doing? You're speaking out good to God. You're praising God. You're thanking Him. You're worshiping Him. You're ministering to Him. And you're doing what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14. You're singing in the Spirit. You're singing with the understanding. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, when you speak in an unknown tongue, you edify. You charge up and build up your spiritual man. Hallelujah. See, folks, to cultivate a spiritual environment for God to manifest Himself, you have to cultivate your spirit to do spiritual things. How many of you found out that God does not inhabit cussing? You found out God does not inhabit dirty jokes? Have you found out God does not inhabit crying and mourning and complaining and fussing and feeling sorry for yourself? Anybody besides me found out that God doesn't inhabit that kind of stuff? See, if I want the Spirit of God to move, I have to cultivate an environment for God to come and be involved in. Are you listening to me? And so what is he saying? He says, what you need to do is right in the midst of your battle, you need to stir yourself and stir up the Spirit of God within you and upon you and begin to let the Holy Spirit help you to express praise instead of contempt, to express praise instead of mourning, to express praise instead of doubt and fear, to express praise instead of complaining, fussing, and cussing. and thanking God and praising God and worshiping God.
Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through.
No, I don't. But I do know the Holy Spirit's greater than what you're going through. And if you'll let Him, He'll stir you up and help you to praise God, your Heavenly Father. And Father, your Heavenly Father is seeking such that will worship Him. In other words, your Father is looking for an opportunity to show Himself mighty and strong. He's just looking for somebody who will worship Him and say, my God and my Father, you are more real to me right here than the problem is. Hallelujah. And the reality of my redemption is greater than the reality of this sickness, this disease, this attack, this devil, this demon, this whatever's coming against me. God, you're more real to me than this is. Hallelujah. So instead of letting my focus be upon the problem, my focus is going to be upon my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And I'm going to cry out, Abba, Father. My God, my Father, I worship you. Now, what happens when we begin to worship our Heavenly Father and praise Him like this? Let me give you three real great benefits. The first one's found in Psalm 22. Psalm 22, 3, you should know these, but we'll just take a moment and look at them, praise God. Psalm, the 22nd Psalm in verse 3, David is speaking here to the children of Israel, but he's speaking to you and me too. He says in verse 3 of Psalm 22, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Hallelujah. He says this, God is enthroned on the praises of His people. In other words, if I want God to come in and show Himself mighty and strong, I need to begin to praise and worship Him. Amen? And King James says God inhabits the praises of His people. The Greek word says God indwells and marries Himself to the praises of His people. Hallelujah. You know what that means? God comes in and comes into covenant with you when you begin to worship and praise Him. How many of you found out that when you begin to praise God, the atmosphere changes? You know, if you'll just praise God long enough and worship Him and praise Him, all of a sudden you start feeling the place lighten up and the heaviness begins to lift and things begin to change. Despair begins to go. Why? Because God begins to inhabit that praise. His presence begins to come into that situation. His anointing begins to come into that situation. And He begins to show Himself mighty and strong. Look in the 8th Psalm. This is the second blessing. Look over here in Psalm, the 8th Psalm and verse 2. Here he says this. He says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. You know what that means? Don't get so mature you can't praise God. Huh? I remember one time. Praise God. We were Baptists. Nothing against the Baptists. They were good folks. Praise the Lord. But my pastor and I was going to East Tennessee, but I was also the youth minister at our church. We'd started a youth group, and so they'd asked me to take it, and so I was building it up. And so we went to this conference, a youth pastor conference, and they had a bunch of youth there. And so I went to the youth service, and the youth service was kind of like the praise service we have here. Hallelujah. Back in, now we're talking now 1976, praise God. And so, you know, those were filled with the Spirit, but, you know, we were saved and born of the Spirit. But I went into that youth service, and they were singing, choruses, and this is the day, this is, you know, some of those back in the 70s. And they were saying, boy, I'd not been around that. And I thought, this is great. I love this. And the kids were shouting and praising God. And the guy spoke and he reminded me of Billy Graham. I mean, he's up there preaching salvation and just going after and having a great time. And then they came in with the adult service. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. You know, and I just had to endure through that dead, dry singing. And, you know, and then we had a service. And I had a mustache back in those days. And I had long hair and chops down to here and stuff. And I played ball. And I can remember sitting in one of the classes. And one of the teachers that was from a seminary said, yes, you know, when you get sanctified, you get rid of all that facial hair. And I looked around. I was the only one who had a mustache and chops, you know. I thought, I wonder who he's talking about. Hallelujah. And then another one said, you know, our youth come in and they sing some of that, childish, you know, fun stuff. But once they get older, they'll mature and they'll become serious in their worship like us. And I thought, oh, God, never let me become that dead and dry. Help me, Jesus, never to grow up. I don't ever want to grow up. Then I found out that, praise God, those kids were right because they were celebrating their walk with Christ before religion got a hold of them and told them that they were being too expressive. Folks, I want to tell you, the more we know God, the more He becomes our Father, the more expressive we should be, because He is a good, good Father. Amen? And we need to worship Him so. And here He says this. He says, don't become mature out of the mouth of babes and sucklings or nursing infants. You have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Somebody said, well, yes, it says ordained strength. But you know, it's amazing that when the Lord Jesus was questioned, when He came riding into Jerusalem and they were all singing Hosanna in Matthew 21, 16, that He quoted this verse, but He changed it around a little bit. You know what He said over there? He says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. So instead of saying ordained strength, He said, you have ordained praise. Jesus said, praise releases the strength of God in your situation. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. If I want to have God's strength, if I want to have God's power, if I want to have God manifesting Himself, and notice He says, to steal the enemy and the avenger. You know what He's saying? If you begin to praise and worship God and express your praise with the help of the Holy Spirit, what will happen is this: God's presence will come into your situation and He'll shut the devil's mouth and run him off. Come on. Hallelujah. You know what you need to do? You need to just praise the Lord until you shut the devil up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? Folks, listen. Whichever side of the weight scale has the heaviest weight is the one that goes down. Are you listening to me? And what we got to do is we have to have more weight of God's glory in our situation so we can just flip the devil out of there. Hallelujah. And God's glory settles down upon us. And how are we going to do that? We're not going to do it by crying and moaning and groaning and pleading with God to come. You know what we're going to do? We're going to come to our Heavenly Father and say, Father, I want to thank You right now. I've received the spirit of adoption. I cry out, Abba, Father, to You. And I'm going to worship You in spirit. I'm going to worship You in the reality of who You are. I'm going to praise You for Your greatness and goodness and mercy and love. And I'm going to praise You now and thank You and begin to sing in the spirit. Begin to worship in the Spirit. Begin to give God thanks. Begin to praise Him. And all of a sudden, you know what's going to happen? The anointing of God's going to come on you. And God's presence is going to come on you. And as God's presence comes in, the enemy's presence goes out. And the entire atmosphere around you changes. Anybody here besides me ever done that? I want to tell you what, folks. It's amazing to watch that entire situation change as you force yourself through your flesh and get over into the Spirit. Do you know sometimes to start off, you have to do it by faith because you don't feel like praising the Lord? Anybody here know what I'm talking about? You know, if you're going by what you feel, you're just going to quit right there. But you know what you do? You force yourself to praise the Lord. You force yourself to speak in tongues. You force yourself to sing in the Spirit. And you praise God. And all the time you're doing that, the enemy's still lying because he's still there. And he's saying, you hypocrite, you know you don't feel anything. You know this isn't God. You know you're just putting this on. You know you're still doing that. And what you need to do is look at him and say, Mr. Devil, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will. In other words, it was His will. He was willing to do this, and I will sing with the Spirit. I will praise the Lord. I will express the praise of God because I'm receiving the Spirit of God coming upon me. I'm cultivating an environment for the anointing of God to come in, and I'm going to worship God until God is speaking and you're shut up. And you just begin to worship the Lord, and the anointing comes in, and all of a sudden, all those things begin to get quiet, and the devil begins to flee. That's what Paul and Silas did in that Philippian jail at midnight. They prayed one prayer and then began to sing praises unto God. And it was while they were praising the Lord that God shook the place. In 2 Chronicles 20, it wasn't when Jehoshaphat was fasting. It wasn't when he was praying. It was when he set his praisers out in front of the troops and they began to sing, for the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever, that God set ambushments against the enemy and smote them. Listen to me, folks. God wants to do great and mighty things in our midst. And right here, He's showing us exactly what we do. And finally, look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. I'm going to read to you actually out of the Amplified. And it reads like this. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim and your great quest. In other words, God, I'm going to make the aim of my life to walk in Your love. I'm going to ask You to just help me to experience Your love and live in Your love and live a life of love. And then listen what the next part is. And earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments, the gifts. Look at that. And earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments and the gifts. Once again, what's he talking about? Prepare the soul. Get the weeds out. Become aware of, knowledgeable of. Spend time with. In other words, God, if I will cultivate the environment, you'll manifest yourself in my life. Amen? God, if I praise you and worship you, and work my way through this. And Holy Spirit, help me to just battle through my flesh. Help me to battle through the lies. Help me to battle through all the junk until my mind is set upon the Lord and my heart is fixed in trusting Him. And as I praise the Lord, God in heaven is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and truth. The Father seeks those who will worship Him in spirit and truth. Why? So He can manifest Himself. So He can come down and show Himself strong. And so He can come down and bring His gifts and His power and His glory into your life. Now, folks, that's a whole lot better than going out and getting drunk and waking up with a bad hangover the next day. Come on. That's a whole lot better than getting mad and saying nasty things that you're going to feel bad about later on. That's a whole lot better than showing yourself ignorant and doing stuff that you are going to be sorry for and you're going to have to go and apologize to people about later on. And you know what? It's a choice that you and I have to make. Notice he didn't say in Psalm 22:3, and God inhabits the praises of Israel as he forces them to praise him. No, they just chose to praise him. Chose to praise him. God didn't force Paul and Silas to pray and sing praises in that jail. They chose to pray and put it in God's hands and then praise Him for the victory. They chose to do it. Do you understand? The Spirit of the Lord comes upon you to anoint you and qualify you, but you still have to do it. Are you hearing me? How many of you are born again? You got Jesus in your heart. Jesus is your Lord. How many of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit and have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in and upon you? I mean, I have been filled with the Holy Ghost. I have been endued with power. I've got the Helper living on the inside of me. See, you need to have that in you and that reality with you. And you know what that means? That means that, praise God, you need to stay so full of the Holy Spirit that up out of your spirit becomes, you begin to sing praises unto God. You begin to give thanks unto God. And you know how long you need to sing and praise and worship God? Until you can't hear the enemy anymore. I'm going to say it again. Do you know how long you need to sing and praise God? Until you can't hear the enemy any longer. Till you have worshiped God to the point that He has filled up the room and filled up your life and filled up the situation, and He has silenced the enemy and the avenger and run him off, and He's ready to manifest His gifts, graces, and love in your life. And you've got the victory. Amen? And that is something you just choose to do. You just choose to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. I had a friend of mine. This is back even before I went to Raymond. We'd just gotten filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought that was really good. He lived at home. He was a carpenter and he was filled with the Spirit. And he was in his early 20s just like we were. And he hadn't gotten married yet. So his mom and dad said that he could. And they were Christians and stuff. And he said, but his mom was all the time, she was negative and fussy all the time. And they'd get in arguments. And because he'd just gotten filled with the Holy Spirit and she hadn't got it yet. And so, you know, she's a little frustrated because he got it and she didn't. And so, you know, and then they would have some other difficulties. And so he said, I was praying one day and I said, Lord, he said, how do I stop this conflict between me and my mom? I love her and she loves me, but we're in conflict all the time. And the Lord said, it takes two to argue. Amen. He said, pursue my love and respond with praise. He said, you know, I thought, you know, I don't know if it's going to work or not. He said, but I felt like God spoke to me. He said, he got in and he said, and we were having a Bible study, the reason he was sharing, we were sharing victory reports. And he says, you know, I came into the house yesterday evening And he said, I did something, and Mom got fussing, and she got to, and I started to respond like I always do. And I remember the Lord saying, it takes two to argue. So don't respond back negatively, just praise the Lord. And so he said, she said something, he said, well, praise the Lord, Mom, hallelujah. I'm sorry, we'll fix it. And she said, you don't know what I'm talking about. He said, yes, I do, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord together, hallelujah. And he said, she got mad at first. He said, but you know, the more I walked around praising God and saying God is good and the Lord's taking care of this and I love you, Mom. She said, after a while, she lifted her hands up and we both stand in the kitchen praising the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said, I left out of there giving God glory because I found out how to stop the enemy and the avenger from having his way. See, if you live according to the flesh, the Bible says you shall die. Romans 8. But if you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, put to death the evil deeds prompted by your body, you shall genuinely live in the life of God. Amen. If I want to live this life and live in the life of God, I can't let my flesh express what it wants to say. I have to make my flesh express praise unto my God and say what God wants me to say. And God inhabits that praise. Amen.